Our planet's climate is experiencing some unruly, drastic events, some inexplicable and dramatic shifts. Some have said that what we're experiencing is a natural progression as a result of global warming, a man-made climate change. And those who say that would argue that the amount of carbon dioxide or CO2 in the air has reached some type of a magical tipping point, that things have been so bad for so long that now the climate is going to be hotter. Now the firestorms will be more intense. And now the winters will be a certain way from now on. And it's all because we've used too much and we've left too big of a carbon footprint. The temperatures, they would point to global warming, storms, tornadoes, hurricanes, tsunamis. Tropical depressions are the new normal in this age of global warming. And that's what some people would tell you. And arguably, temperatures are hotter than what they've ever been. Last month, I read that Death Valley experienced the hottest month ever recorded on the planet, or at least as long as we've been recording temperatures. On Saturday and Sunday, Europe experienced the hottest day they've ever experienced. In Lisbon, Portugal, they topped 107 degrees on both Saturday and Sunday. Portugal's not used to having 107 degrees. They're not used to that. Australia tonight is experiencing a crippling drought. And North Korea, it's so hot in North Korea that the government has declared an unprecedented natural disaster. In California, we're seeing extreme heat and bone dry conditions. They are fueling some of the worst wildfires that California has ever seen in the history over the state. There have been over 500,000 acres burned, damaged and destroying more than 1,800 structures. Tonight, 17,000 homes are in that storm's are in those wildfires' path. 45,000 residents of California have been under an evacuation notice. Tonight, there are more than 15,000 professional firefighters on the front line that are fighting those wildfires in California. 18 large blazes across the state. Of course, California has always experienced large wildfires in the past, but according to a firefighter, what they have experienced recently is something that they've not ever seen before. It was something called a fire tornado that packs a 143 mile an hour wind. I think we have a video of that. We're going to show it to you. That is a tornado of fire. Craig Clements, you can keep showing that. Craig Clements, director of San Jose State University's Fire Weather Research Laboratory, said, "This might be the strongest fire-induced tornado-like circulation ever recorded." What you're seeing in California, there are no books, there are no stories, there are no events in the past to compare what they're seeing right now with a fire tornado that is a tornado on fire at 143 miles an hour. In the Southwest, the drought continues to intensify, producing absolutely enormous dust storms. I want to show you this video. This happened in Phoenix just not too long ago, and what you're going to see is this huge wall of dust envelops the Phoenix metro area on Thursday. It was last week in the second monsoon storm in a four-day span. How many of you have seen this? Good. This is the Phoenix metro area. Can you imagine that coming at you? Flights were delayed at Phoenix Sky Harbor International Airport until visibility improved. There's another angle of that dust storm. Now, if I had to choose between going through a dust storm and a fire tornado, I'm signing up for the dust storm as quick as I can. And because in the immediate, a fire tornado is a little bit more destructive. But in the long term, what this nation saw in the 1930s, the Great Dust Bowl, in the long term, these dust storms are more crippling to a nation. So far, what we've talked about tonight is nothing but weather. talked about droughts, talked about wildfires, we've talked about dust storms, record-breaking heat. These things are not the only birth pangs that this celestial ball is dealing with. Let's also not forget the shaking of the crust of the earth. On Sunday, Indonesia was shaken with a 7.0 earthquake. The death toll has risen to over 100 people. The island of Lombok and nearby Bali were evacuated. Social media showed debris piled up on the sidewalks. It showed hospital patients being wheeled out in their bed, out of the buildings and into the streets because of fear of the hospital collapsing. Why is all this happening? Why does it seem like there is a sudden uptick in extreme weather? Why is there a greater frequency and greater magnitude of these things? The truth is, the amount of carbon dioxide, CO2, in the air is increasing, and it's been increasing for a long time. But the amount of CO2 that man puts into the air causes marginal effect. Scientists say that the Earth has had much higher levels of CO2 in the past in her atmosphere than we do today, and she thrived, even in worse conditions. The ozone has been in worse shape than what it is now, but we have not seen this type of weather. We have not seen this extreme frequency and extreme magnitude. The lamestream media continues to tell us that the changes on this Earth are all your fault. It's all my fault. We're using too much electricity. We're using styrofoam cups. Can't even get a good cold drink at McDonald's anymore because they're trying to help the environment. No styrofoam cups. We're led to believe that everything that's going on is my fault and your fault. We're leaving too much of a CO2 carbon footprint. What if there's another reason? What if it has nothing to do with us whatsoever? Now we can't go back because the changes that are happening are way outside our control. And to me, it has nothing to do with CO2. It has nothing to do with global warming. I think the uptick in the frequency and magnitude of what we see happening environmentally, I think it's God. I think it's an almighty God's hand working in our climate. And all these matters, the nations are perplexed as to what's causing these chaotic shifts and these dramatic shifts in weather. Governments are discussing, how do we get a hold of the climate? How do we stop CO2 emissions? What can we do? And extends across all the borders, across the background of conflicting scientific experts on both sides. Some people say, yes, we can do something. Some people say, no, we can't do anything. Oh, if we cut back on this, things will get better. The other side says, it doesn't matter what we do. Arguments are raging about carbon footprints, emissions, trading schemes and the like, and attempts to try to do something about these events. Oh, if we cut back here, if we cut back there, the environment will be better. The climate will be better. I propose something else to you. What if there's nothing we can do about it at all? Because if we didn't do anything to cause it, we didn't do anything to stop it, and the truth of the matter is, if God is doing this, we can't stop it anyway. If this is God's hand preparing for the last days, there's nothing that we could do that would make anything any better anyway. It's not man causing these dramatic climatic events. It's God. Biblical prophecy stated that this would occur in the last days, along with other signs of the times. Signs such as nation rising against nation, kingdom against kingdom, rumors of war, tumults. And all of these point to the end times. These climatic changes are prophesied to herald the last days in the preparation of the coming of the Lord. Now, if these things are signs from God, is there any likelihood that we can do anything to prevent them? To me, not a chance. We can't do anything to stop these. If the hand of God is indeed behind these events, then man would have more of a chance holding back the tide than trying to hold back the hand of God. Luke chapter 21, verse 11 says this, "There will be great earthquakes, and there will be famines, and there will be plagues on the land, and there will be terrifying things, and great and miraculous signs from heaven." The frequency of earthquakes has more than doubled in the last 10 years. In 2008, there were 16,000 earthquakes worldwide. 2018, we're on track to have 32,000 earthquakes worldwide. There's been, we didn't do anything to cause that. We didn't do anything to cause that frequency uptake. It's nothing to do about CO2. That's just the way the earth is being shook. Luke 21, 25, and 26 says this, "And there will be strange signs in the sun, in the moon, and the stars. And here on earth, the nations will be in turmoil, perplexed by the roaring seas and strange tides. Perplexed by the roaring seas and strange tides. People will be terrified at what they see coming upon the earth, for the powers in the heavens will be shaken." I want to show you about 20 seconds of a video, if I could. This is a tsunami that I found amazing, all right? Now I want to read that text again to you, Luke 21, 25 and 26. "And there will be strange signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. And here on earth the nations will be in turmoil, perplexed by the roaring seas and strange tides." Tsunami. The increased frequency and magnitude of tsunamis is undeniable, and they're also prophesied about in the end times leading up to the last days. We are told that these things will take place. The weather will be haywire. Earthquakes will increase. People will be scared of the strange waves. So, should we be concerned about this? In short, my answer is no. These are prophesied events, and they must happen. These are prophesied events, and they're on God's schedule. Christians can actually take heart, because if these things are happening with greater frequency and greater magnitude, if these things are happening, then you also know what that means. The Lord is soon to return. Amen. These are pointing to the last days when our Savior comes and takes the bride. So in that way, maybe it's a weird way, maybe it's a strange way, the church can look at it and say, you know what, things are bad, but it's about to get a whole lot better. We can take comfort in that knowledge. But how bad will it get? Well, I can't answer that, but I will say this. It will get worse than what it is today. It will get hotter. Earthquakes will increase in frequency. More wild storms. More tsunamis. More wars. More drought. It will get worse. Why? Because the Bible tells us that it will. The Bible also tells us that when the Lord returns, it will be like when God flooded the earth or when He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. He says in Luke 17, 26 through 30, "When the Son of Man returns, it'll be like it was in the days of Noah. In those days, the people were enjoying banquets and parties and weddings right up to the time Noah entered his boat, and the flood came and destroyed them all. And the world will be as it was in the days of Lot. People went about their daily business, eating and drinking, buying and selling, farming and building, until the morning Lot left Sodom. Then fire and burning sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all." Yes, it will be business as usual right up to the day when the Son of Man is revealed. If you're looking for, will something happen? Will there be a bigger earthquake, or will there be a bigger tsunami? No. In fact, it'll just be a normal day. People will be buying, selling, getting married, getting divorced, eating, drinking, shopping, working. Are things getting worse? Absolutely. But they will get worse before the coming of the Lord. So is climate change a thing to fear? In my opinion, no. It's a necessary part of the process of God that God has set in motion thousands of years ago, from which He will save His people. He's told us two further things in the Scriptures from which we can be encouraged. He says, "When these things begin to take place, church, look up and raise your heads, because your redemption, your deliverer, is drawing near. And when you see all these things, you know that He is near and at the very gates." So I tell you to take care and be prepared. As I looked at the climate issues today, I also looked at some cultural issues today. And I'm almost done, so if you would stay with me. As the climate is turned upside down, we're also seeing the emergence of something that's called the Day of Scoffers. 2 Peter 3, verse 3 and then 5 through 6. Most importantly, I want to remind you that in the last days, scoffers will come. There's the days of the scoffers, mocking the truth and following their desires. They deliberately forget that God made the heavens by the word of his command, and he brought the earth out from the water and surrounded it with water. Then he used the water to destroy the ancient world with a mighty flood. Now, I'll get into that for a second, but there was another message that I really wanted to preach. There were two key things here that Peter talks about that in the scoffers they will deny in the last days. Those two things that Peter says the scoffers will deny, number one, the creation of the world in 7 days, and they will deny the existence of the flood. Do you see that? The scoffers in the last days will deny the existence that God made the heavens and the earth, and they will deny the fact that God destroyed the earth with a flood. Do you see that? Those are telltale marks of scoffers talking about. I think it's going to be an incredible sermon whenever I get it finished. But I've read that text a lot, but I just picked up on it today. We're living in a time when it's unpopular, and this plays into the bigger picture. We're living in a time where it's very unpopular to believe those two things. We're living in a time that it's very unpopular and it's offensive to uphold biblical truth. See the Bible as literal. If you see the Bible as authentic and genuine and inerrant and infallible, you're considered crazy or old-fashioned or a nut job or a fundamentalist. I read this and it made my stomach kind of creepy. The Scottish government report has recently revealed that in chapels and churches where they have funerals, Christian crosses are being removed inside chapels during funeral service so it's not offensive to atheists and non-Christians. The Church of Scotland said in a statement concerning funeral services that churches should be welcoming to people of all faiths and none. Families should be encouraged to express their wishes, and their preferences should be accommodated whenever possible. Can you imagine? Churches, funeral chapels, covering their crosses or removing their crosses because they don't want to offend an atheist or a non-Christian. Of course, this issue of removing and covering crosses in chapels stemmed from a group called the Humanist Society in Scotland, and they felt that their beliefs are being left, and I quote, open to discrimination due to the presence of religious symbols in chapels when family members don't want to see them. You feel that weird feeling in your stomach? I contrast the climate storm, and then I read a story like this with a cultural storm. I realize that CO2 has nothing to do with this, but SIN does. And I realize that there's not a whole lot I can do about either one of them, but I do know this, God hasn't lost a minute of sleep worried about either one of them. I know that this is his plan. And the best thing I can do is, number one, keep my head looking up and being prepared. Keeping my head up and being ready. The changing weather will only get worse. The changing culture will only get worse as we approach the last days. 2 Timothy 3, 1 and 2, and then I'm done. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. For people will only love themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. I read that, then I thought about the churches in Scotland who are covering their crosses. They will consider nothing sacred. But there's no need to fear, for the Lord captains the old ship of Zion, and he's charted the course a long time ago, and he is staying on course without any diversion. And I will trust the master of the wind. And I will trust the captain of the old ship of Zion. Lord God, tonight we trust you. And Lord God, we will stay by you. We will not be ashamed. We will not buy into secular humanism. We will not buy into the idea of, God forbid, we offend the lost. Lord, the truth of the matter is, they're lost. They're already going to a devil's hell. We're not going to send them to hell number 9. God, people need to hear the message. People need to hear the good news. And this is a church, Lord God, that is on fire for you, and we have a broken heart for the lost. And God, increase it. Make it more so. Let more people in this church be broken for the lost. Let them weep, dear God, for those who will bust hell wide open. Let us see our place in your plan. And Lord God, as the end time clock winds down and the last days quickly approach, Lord, I pray that this would be one of those churches. I pray that this would be one of those brides that endures till the end. That we do not grow weary doing good. But Lord, I pray that you would find us faithful and good. And it's in Jesus' name I pray.